Hello and welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat, episode 5 of 2026. We've had a few weeks off. Mike's been gallivanting and speaking on other podcasts, but he's back here for the OG. And we'll reflect on the last few weeks for Widnes, which has been very positive. We'll hear from Alan Coleman later in the episode, his reaction for the win from the win over Goole. But basically, since we last did one of these, Mike, Widnes have won 3 out of 3 in the league, placing second in the championship table, which we've said on this pod, or I've said on this podcast before, and you've probably agreed, that's where Widnes need to be showing that they're a top championship club. And at the moment, if you look at that league table, London number one, Widnes number two, I think that's how it's got to be. At the end of the season, there's a long way to go, but Widnes have put themselves in a good place.
100%. I think top three should and is the target without a shadow of a doubt. I still believe second is on if we can keep this deep squad that we've assembled now fit. You know, things are looking good for Widnes at the moment. I'm pleased for Alan Coleman. Pleased for him because, casting our mind back 2 weeks ago, we're going into this game against Oldham, and let's have it right, it was a massive game. It was a massive game. It was a massive game where to see where Widnes was really at after a great Challenge Cup effort and then a little bit of a dip against Workington, but still got the job done. But we've kind of seen under Alan's tenor, you know, he's a motivator. There's no doubt he can get us up for the big games, pull off some shock results against big spending clubs. But, you know, last season, again, consistency was questioned. And he's, you know, he's last year he had a lot of injury trouble. And, you know, after 2 years in, you can almost say, right, well, in year three, the squad you've got is yours. You know, in year three, he's had options really that almost seems for the first time. You know, I think last year and the year before, we certainly seemed thin on numbers, and you know, we never quite caught up last year with our recruitment. I think the number of short-term loans that come into the club suggested that. You know, and you fast forward time to this season, and you know, really, there's only Juma Sambo who's coming on loan, which you know and hope is going to be there for the rest of the season, which is great. But, you know, we went into that Oldham game for the first time with an abundance of options. And, you know, it was like, let's see how we go now when there's some tough conversations, tough calls to be had, and how that squad is managed. Do we get it right? And then keeping people happy that might not, you know, might lose the place. And ultimately, you know, Jack Owen's massive call against Oldham, and I've got to be honest, he got it spot on. It worked for him. I think when a coach decides to, you know, leave the captain out and then back that up the week after, it's a huge moment within the squad, and, you know, it's important that it's the right call, and it's proved to be. And you know, I think in the interview that you did post-match this week, James, you know, I think the reaction's been good from Jack and the players that have been left out. And there's real competition for places now. And I firmly do believe that you need that to compete at the top of any league. You know, you need the most options available, you know, in comparison to the teams that you're competing against. Yeah, I think fair play to Alan. I take my hat off to him. He seems to be managing the squad brilliantly, keeping people hungry. But the big calls, he's got spot on. And I think another example of that is Matt Fleming on the flip side, where, you know, up at Workington, he pulled out a couple of things that got us over the line in that game. And he's kept his faith in Matt. And, you know, the rewards are there for everybody to see. And It's exciting times, and just moving forward into that girl game, I think another thing, and I'd just like to pick this up before we go back to you, James, but I've critical is probably not the wrong is the wrong word, but an area of improvement for Widnes was being clinical with the ball, putting teams away, going back to back with tries and putting teams under pressure on the scoreboard. And although, you know, Alan will be disappointed with them last 10, 15 minutes, and there's a couple of lapses in defence again, we've shown our scoring power as well. And to me, when you're showing scoring power, that's a confident team. So things are looking good.
Yeah, I think just touching on some of the things you mentioned, the squad situation, I think, is much better than it has been. I was very surprised and a little bit disappointed to see negative comments from people. I think it was on the Jack Horton loan deal to Rochdale, where there was a few comments from people, oh, what a joke, you know, or not what a joke, why are Widnes doing it? What's the point in having these players? You know, why is he not playing? Why sign him if he's not going to play? And I think I'm disappointed in them comments, because I think it's almost like the club can't win no matter what they do. If you know, this time last year, you're moaning because they've not got squad depth, or you're having to bring in players from other clubs. And then this year, because they've got a solid team and there's players on the fringes who need game time and you're loaning them out, people are still complaining about that. Now, well, I think actually the way I think you could. The only question mark I would have over the situation is how do you keep those players connected to Widnes? Because ultimately, when you're in a, it's different to when Super League teams are loaning players to Championship. Because ultimately, if Widnes get a player from Super League, he's still training with his Super League club in the day, and then he'll just train with Widnes on the evening. Whereas, you know, the lads at Widnes have got out at Salford, they're not training at Widnes because they're training at Salford. Do you know what I mean? And that's the only, I think that's the only slight negative about it, is that, yeah, okay, these players are keeping fit, and ultimately when they're, you know, when you need them, you can call upon them. But how integrated are they with the wider squad because of that? But I certainly think that's the only negative. But I think if the decision's being made, that's how they want to run it. I think that's a sensible, and if the club can afford it, I actually think it's a positive in terms of it shows the club have got not necessarily a vision, but it shows that the club have got something about them that, well, we're happy to carry a squad of enough players that we can loan some out rather than just existing, pulling in players from a Super League club. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if Widnes do end up with a maybe a forward from a Super League club in the not too distant future. But I think it's unfair to be critical of how that squad's being managed at the moment. And like, as I say, I was a bit surprised when I saw some negative comments on the Horton thing. In terms of the squad selection and things like that, ultimately, the having a squad provides that kick up the backside for some players. And I think we've seen that with a couple of them where, and I think probably Matt Fleming's, you know, probably the best example. He's not scored that many tries, has he, in the last few seasons, you know, playing at centre. He does okay, if you know what I mean. Whereas now all of a sudden he's scoring tries. What's he had, four in the last, over the last three matches? Four or five even.
Five.
Yeah, you know, and all of a sudden you can, because he knows that ultimately he's got to play well to keep his place in the team. Whereas certainly an argument over previous years was that players were only in the team because ultimately there was no one else to go in. So it's a far healthier position for the club to be in now. And as you mentioned, I asked Alan, and maybe we cut into that interview after this little discussion, but the big challenge is how do you keep them players happy throughout the year? And that's going to be the challenge. How much rotation? It was interesting that he mentioned that Ryan Ince was rested at the weekend. Well, which, you know, you can get away with doing that, but then does he come straight back into the team And then is if he doesn't, is he miffed because he's thinking, well, hang on, I didn't do anything to get out of the team. You decided to rest me. And they're all, ultimately, that's the challenge of being a coach. You know, it's like Jack, you mentioned Jack Owens. If Jack Owens doesn't play a game for the rest of this season, then clearly that's not good for him as a rugby player. So how are Widnes going to deal with that? Is it a case of he gets a chance and plays a few games and keeps his place? Or, you know, and that's the challenge of it. And that's the beauty of, you know, that's one of the responsibilities of the coach to manage the squad in that way. But yeah, I think everything's in a good place at the moment. Hunslet at home this week before a bit of a break, a weekend off. So I think if Widnes can do the business at home to Hunslet, which will be a tough game, if Widnes can win on Sunday and you go into this 1 week off having won five out of your six league games, I don't think anyone could have any complaints about that, especially because you've played your two hardest games. Widnes have played their two hardest games, London away, Oldham away. On paper, they're the hardest games, and Widnes have already got them out of the way.
Yeah, and I think at this point and what we've done so far, and you can even throw in the Leeds Challenge Cup defeat in there too. I think Alan deserves the trust of the supporters that he knows what he's doing and he knows how to manage this squad, and most of this squad he's had for 3 years now. So you've got to trust him to know that he is going to work it out and get the right balance. I think what people forget and do need to understand is, you know, we've possibly lost Joe Edge and Morg McWhirter for a week or two. So straight away, well, that's two bodies that need filling straight away to come into the team without any selection, you know, tactical changes. And, you know, we could play Hunslet on Sunday and lose all of our bench. And then before you know it, all these players that all of a sudden was like, oh, are they ever going to get a game again? They're playing. And that's the thing with rugby league, and that's where I believe you do need a squad. And players do need to go out and play and stay match fit and stay sharp. So they're not coming in cold, you know, especially, you know, in positions like, you know, your halfbacks, you know, your back rowers. You can't have them start in the stands for 5 or 6 weeks and then a couple of injuries happen and they get through in straight away. You know, they need to be match fit. And effectively, last year, that's what we was doing with one-week loans. How many times did we have not even Warrington's, you know, fifth choice player in a certain position? And, you know, you've got a core of players here that will be training with us, and, you know, they're going elsewhere on match days and doing training sessions elsewhere and staying match fit. I think it's only a good thing. And what a position to be in where you're second in the league, like you've said, you've got the London away game out the way, which nobody wants this year. You've gone away at Oldham, shown what you've got up your sleeve, shown you're a serious competitor in this division. You know, you're not making up the numbers. You're going to be competing right at the top. And you've got your captain and your vice-captain to bring back into that whenever you want to, whenever you feel is, you know, the right time to do so. And I can only say, as a supporter from another club looking in, that's a position of strength. And I think as a side point as well, I just want to touch upon this because I really wasn't sure, James, and I was really not sure after watching them together up at Workington, Jordan Abdul and Tom Gilmore. I had question marks of, is it two almost scrum halves and kind of two dictators of a game being too similar? By God, since I had them thoughts, outstanding at Oldham, how they managed that game. And then against Gill, you know, posting the points and Jordan Abdul's kicking game. And I think, you know, Tom Gilmore, now he's got that game under his belt at Workington, and he's had his operation now that he has needed. He's the last two games, he's really come back up a notch, and it's like watching the Gilmore of old in fourth or fifth gear. And I think, again, if we're going to be getting that alongside Jordan Abdul, that makes Widnes a very, very dangerous team.
Well, I think the benefit of that combination is that Abdul clearly is your first, you know, you want to get him the ball to kick because he's got good length on the kicks. You know, ultimately I would imagine Abdul's the first choice kicker in every situation, other than maybe when you're within 20, 30 of the opposition's line. But the beauty of it is that then means that he might get targeted, but then it frees up. And I think there was a couple of examples of that against Gill where, because the defence sets up to try and get at Abdul, if Widnes then get the ball to Tom Gilmore, he's got more space than he maybe would have last season because everyone was expecting everything to go through him. So I think that's where there's a benefit. Going back to what you were saying about the squad, it'll be interesting this week. I know Warrington are quite keen to get Luke Thomas and Max Wood out this week. It'd be interesting, both of course have played for Widnes before. It'll be interesting, given the potential doubt over Morgan McWhirter. It'll be interesting to see whether Widnes take one of them or does, say, Jack Horton get recalled from his loan at Rochdale.
I think my belief on that is if we are going with the model of having a deeper squad, I would much prefer our own players that we have signed to get first opportunity to prove whether they're right. And I'm not saying Jack Houghton, as an example, has blew our socks off, but I don't think he's done too much wrong. And he deserves that opportunity to show his value and earn his place in the team. Because if he doesn't, and then you are bringing in loans already, that's when I do question what is the value of having them players in your squad then.
Yeah, because I suppose if you... I mean, I know he's only had 1 week at Rochdale, hasn't he? He's got a month's loan there, and there is a callback option. Rochdale plays Sheffield at home this week. But yeah, that's another... And with all due respect to Jack Horton, Luke Thomas and Max Wood are better forwards than him. But when we talk about this, having this squad depth and the squad harmony, is it better... If you're talking about a 1-17 on a match day, having one of them two Warrington players is probably better. But when it comes to the overall squad or the overall club, is it better to, you know, bring him back? I suppose the only question mark is, do they feel that because he's got a month at Rochdale, that if they then recall him this week, they've then got to find him another deal to go out in a few weeks' time? I don't think Rochdale will play the week after as well anyway.
What I would say that to that, James, is no Super League club took pity on us and took that avenue with our players that we were signing on a month loan or a season loan that was only recalled afterwards. And that's when you've got to step in and go, we're the bigger club and they're our players.
Yeah, I think that's fair. As I say, it'll be interesting. That'll be a decision or like I say, it might have been that Widnes have decided to pass on the two Warrington players, but it'll be interesting to see. I know that I've had a few chats with Alan after games, and I know that he has been, you know, maybe does he need another middle somewhere? I know that has been at the back of his mind. I think traditionally everyone's, you know, for years it's always been Widnes haven't had enough props, but I think because Dan Murray and Jay Chapelow have done pretty well this season. I mean, Jack Bibby wasn't even in the 17 at the weekend either. So even if you put him in place of Morgan McWhirter, I think that's a potential option. So it'll be interesting anyway. But we'll take this opportunity to break off and let's hear what Alan Coleman had to say to me straight after the 54-24 win over Gill. Alan Coleman, really good win last week. Important to follow that up with the win and certainly the manner of the win against Gill today. It was a comfortable one in the end.
Yeah, you know, we've got to be over the moon with the score. We posted some points. Really disappointed how the game finished, to be honest. We gifted them 18 points. I thought we gifted them the 6 in the first half, where we just switch off and poor defending. Just frustrating. Because, you know, I think we were 100% in the first half. We didn't drop a ball and we didn't give any silly mistakes away, and that's when we're good. And you know, you can only play what's in front of you, and I just thought, we moved them about, and frustrations kicked in. I've never known the Rooks are slow. We're going through some new rule changes now. And I think somebody didn't get the memo, because that's the slowest game we've played in. And, but you could see that we was trying. That was our game plan, to do that, and unfortunately we couldn't do it. But I was really pleased with, you know, our middles work more than anything. They find space all the time and created that energy for us to play on the back of it. So,
yeah. I mean, first half, you were almost going at a point, a minute 34-0. Gill were making some mistakes, but you were punishing them. And it must have been pleasing that how clinical you were in that first half, because basically after 16 minutes, the game was done.
Yeah, and that's what you get if you don't give the ball away. And, you know, we've looked this year where we've played some good teams and we've been in tough games because we're giving the ball away in silly areas. Well, today we didn't. And then you just go racing points in front. And then, you, like you said, James, the game's over with, basically. If you play any team in this competition, you're going 16, 20, 20 points behind. It's very difficult to come back from that. So we knew, and you could see the confidence grow within the camp. And the challenge then was, don't change what you're doing, and we didn't. And I think it, like I said, first half was quite focused.
That's the most points you've ever scored in a league match under yourself, 54. probably should have had a bit more than 54 as well.
Yeah, I think the last 5-10 minutes there, Max Roberts could score and he passes, which is very, you know, it's great for seeing he's looking after his winger when they pull it back. And we pulled trigger there and Gilly goes over the top and he's just been over and said, I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, we probably go direct, we score. But it's all lives and bits and maybes. And I'm just really pleased that our completion was up there and we just focused on... It was very difficult today, knowing the team's coming today with no fear factor because they were expected to win. And as a coach in an opposition, it's very dangerous that when you're playing teams who don't fear anything and they can express themselves, and that's when teams can get undone. And they beat Halifax, and it showed 3 weeks ago that they went with that attitude. So we was focused today on being the team who go out and do the job, and I thought we did that.
Talk about Dan Murray, especially your front row set the platform again, but I thought Dan Murray was excellent, especially in his first stint, and then in his second stint. I don't think I've ever seen him so hungry to score tries, especially I think probably before the interception. I would imagine he'll probably look at the tape and say, I should have had a few passes in that set when he was on a hat-trick.
Yeah, he was very close in the corner, wasn't he? He was very good today. He's been good all year. Well, you know, the good thing for Danny is he's got a real good ally outside of him with Jay Chapoy, because I think he's just complimented Danny even more now. And takes a little bit, of workload off him, because Dan was very doing a lot what he probably shouldn't have done. And Jay's helped with that, so I think that's improving Dan also, which is good to see. But yeah, he was very close to him today, that's for sure.
And to be fair, I know they scored in the end, but he actually chased down the centre, didn't he, on that breakaway at the end?
Yeah, he just showed our backs a clean pair of heels. Well, that's the winning mentality of Dan in him. He, you know, I see it every other day at training. He's such a great leader, and you know, we were very close to making him a leader, and he was desperate to be one. But I just said, I don't want you to focus on that because you already are one. And I think you got your just rewards today. I think people are starting to realise now the quality he's got.
You brought Jemai back into the team and put him at centre, and Matt Fleming on the wing. And did the see? You know, he played on the wing in his first game, and obviously Matt Fleming's been playing at centre. But it was a shrewd move by you to play him in that way, because it certainly worked.
Yeah, it wasn't like a tactical ploy, that. It was just more me giving Jemai an opportunity because he hasn't played at centre. He comes as a centre, and, you know, we played him up wing. He had a great game, got a bit of a knock. Then he couldn't get back in because Ryan Eats has been outstanding for us. We rested Ryan today, and that's the be all and end all. But I just thought I would have put Matt Fleming there outside of Jemai. He's experienced in that area, so we can guide him as well if he comes into under any issues. And then we could always flip him back if it was case scenario if things weren't going great. But I thought he did really well. I thought he's always a threat, ball in hand. He frightens people, he looks at people, and, you know, he's bouncing from left to right, and he's strong, upper body strength, phenomenal. So he took his opportunities, he did really well, but it just shows how well Matt Fleming's playing, because I think he's been our more consistent player in the last few weeks, and he's got his rewards today, you know, and they took some finishing them tries.
Well, I'm sure he'll be volunteering to play on Jemai's wing if he's scoring hat-trick every week. But you mentioned about Jemai, a couple of times he just bounced up, it looked like he was tackled, he bounced up, get another 10 or 15 metres. How important is it to have someone like that?
Yeah, it's really good. You know, we lost Joe Edge after 20 minutes, you know, that doesn't look great. Got Jack Owens waiting in the wings, he's desperate, he's training the ice down. We've got Jemai there, we've got Matt Fleming there now, so we've got three options. Max Roberts flitted in there before, and you know, you wouldn't notice he's not, you know, we all know the qualities he's got. So we're quite okay in depth this year, and that's the beauty of having some depth. You know, it's not great losing potentially Morgan McWhirter and Edgy, but that gives somebody else an opportunity. You know, Jack Bibby's not played for 2 weeks and he's done nothing wrong when he has played.
I was going to ask you about Jack Owens and probably the other players as well. How are they all dealing with that? Because I suppose, is this a new situation? Well, certainly it's a new situation for you at Widnes where, you know, you're having to leave out quite a number of players week in, week out. And how are you managing that and keeping it harmonious, if you like, in the dressing room?
We've got to be honest. I'm honest as the day's long to my players. You know, and the be-all and end-all was that the reason Jack didn't play is I thought Joe Edge is potentially our best centre and best in the comp on his day. And Matt Fleming was in form and playing really well. And Jack, being the total professional he is and the captain and the leader he is for this club, understood that. You know, he's no fool. And he said, I totally agree. He just said, it's up to me to get back in and I'll fight hard to get back in. And he is doing. He's doing that. He's training the ice down, like I say, and potentially there's an opportunity arising again. So I just know, same with Joey Lyons, when the opportunity comes, they're going to jump at it with both hands, and straight away I've got an under player coming straight back in. So we've got to keep it. We've got to keep it competitive as well, and we've got to keep it real. So that means without doing it where people are unhappy with it, we do it so people understand why, and that's the key for our squad, and we've got a really good group.
So mention the injuries. Was it a calf that Morgan came off with, and what was Joe Edge's problem?
Edge just felt a twinge again in his hammy, same hammy. Isn't great for that, because a bit of a consistent problem there. So obviously we're going to, our medical staff will look at that and see what happens with that. Morgan's felt his calf, just felt a little bit of a pop, and as you could see, one or two players after that, he was really struggling, you know. So that's not great, but we'll probably only know Monday night, Tuesday when we're training, and earlier physio will go do a job superbly like she's done so far. And we'll reassess it. But like I said, there's no panic from me. I just feel as though I'm quite quietly confident with, if some people don't make it, the lads in the wings will certainly do the club justice.
And finally, another home game next week, Hunsley. Is it a case of same again in terms of that first half performance? Certainly, just a repeat of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be a different game altogether. You know, likes of Lee Gaskell have caused us some problems. I watched them last week at Rochdale. I went and watched the game and it was really, really good. It was very physical, direct. And then with the two guys from Doncaster, Miski and... I can't say his name, to be honest.
I know what you mean.
But it was very, very difficult. And he was very powerful and scored 5 tries. So they'll certainly cause us some problems. But we've got to find a way where we cause them problems, which I think we will. But our focus this year is always will be about us. You know, we won't underestimate teams, but we've got to be the best of us.
So, Mike, let's just talk about the Gael game, because although it finished 54-24, if it had finished 66-12, I think that might have been a fairer reflection on the game. And Widnes were really pushing to score points at the end, and Gilmore threw the interception and then they got that breakaway try off the scrum at the end, which probably made the score, although it was a 30-point differential, probably made the score closer than the game was in reality. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I was disappointed with the manner of the game finishing. It, you know, to be that dominant and to concede more points than what you did against Oldham just doesn't feel right, does it? But, you know, as a coach, I guess you've got something to work on there, and, you know, a little bit of a slap on the wrist for the players is in, like, listen, you know, if you do switch off in games, you will be punished. And we was at the back end of that game, there's no doubt about that. But I still am being honest and being true to myself. It was the points we put on the board and we put that game to bed. And I do believe to be at the top of this division, you have to score points. Points kills teams, points is pressure, especially with the way the Rooks are getting refereed now. When you're in the ascendancy, you've got to put points on the scoreboard, and we did that. And we left points out there as well, I believe. I think, like you've just said there, you know, if Widnes had scored 60, it wouldn't have been a disservice to Widnes or the game or anything like that.
Yeah, well,
I think going into the Huntslet game, I think the message would be, come on, let's play to the end. And if we are in a similar position, let's hope we are. We can't have a repeat. But I think still, when you strip it all back, you've got to be happy.
Yeah, I think, in the first half, I think Widnes were going at virtually a point a minute after 30, when it was 34-0. They were almost at a point a minute at that point. And certainly the completion rate was like 100%. There was very few errors. I don't actually think Widnes made an error. I forget who it was now. There was an error. The first error they made was early in the second half. It was a knock-on in their own half. Like I say, I forget who it was. But it was just such a very, it was, like you say, it was a dominant performance. Gill scored a try. It was a nice try, actually. I have no problem with conceding tries like that in many ways. If you concede a try that's a decent try, it was a, you know, the little halfback they had a shocker, but he put on two decent try assists despite that. I think, the end was disappointing, but I think I try not to be too downbeat about that because the game was gone. I suppose the only thing for Widnes is that because they got a bit of a shellacking at London in the first game is they're a bit behind on points difference in comparison to some others. So you could have maybe, even if you'd have won 54-12, you'd have had a 12 better points difference. If you'd have managed to win 66-12, you've added 24. It was maybe a missed opportunity to claw back some of that points difference because I think Widnes were level, weren't they, before that game in terms of points difference, and they're now plus 30. So,
yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think there's a little bit to work on there, but I think if you could play that first 30 minutes every week, you would barely lose any game.
No. And to be fair, James, like we have already alluded to, we've played our two toughest fixtures as well. So if you can keep that level of performance, that level of consistency of playing at a certain level, you would think that's only going to keep progressing now, that points difference. Whereas other teams are going to, their fixture run's going to get much more difficult, isn't it, as time moves on. But I think as well, what people need to realise, and I'm not saying Goole are going to finish towards the top of this division. I'm not saying that at all. You know, they are going to be in the bottom half. But, you know, they have players like Liam Watts, Will Jupp. You know, there was some decent sprinkling of players in that team. You know,
Brett Ferris, Andre Savelio. You know, I thought Dan Murray completely shut them down. I think they probably came thinking that Watts would be able to at least get them a little bit of a platform against Widnes. And I thought Dan Murray just completely shut. They couldn't handle him whatsoever. And I think he was making meters. He was getting quick play to balls. And usually you sometimes see your players will sacrifice making meters to get a quick play to ball. Well, he was making meters and he was getting quick play to balls. And I don't think Goole are a bad side. I don't think they'll be in the bottom five or six. I think they might, if they can get a few decent, you know, their season's not about playing Widnes away.
They've won games already, James.
I think they've got a chance of maybe having a sniff at getting the top 10. it certainly does. Widnes are fortunate in some ways that they've played more games. I mean, Sheffield have won 3 out of 3 so far, but they've only played 3, whereas Widnes have played 5. And then I think Barrow, Doncaster and Dewsbury have only lost 1 each. So it is early days, but you can only play what's in front of you. And Widnes have now got Huntslet this week at home, which you'd have to say is a game that if you're going to be serious, you've got to be winning. And then the next game in the league after that is a tricky one away at Doncaster.
Yeah, and I'm sure the brief for Alan Coleman is, you know, week off in between as well is let's go into it with momentum, and then any knocks and niggles into that Doncaster game, it is a little bit like that Oldham game all over again. Whereas if you then get over Doncaster, then you know the distance and the horizons opens up for you a little bit. So I'm sure that without the team getting carried away, you know, that will be the ambition. But I'd just like to go over Dan Murray and Jay Chappell, the Chappell out. In my opinion, I think I've wrote about this a couple of times in the player ratings, but just to discuss it a little bit now, Dan Murray, for me, has been one of the best signings Widnes have made in the entire championship since we've been in it, in my opinion. I don't think the lads had a bad game in a Widnes shirt. I really don't. And the only thing that you could maybe say about him was he needed somebody to play alongside that had similar levels, so he wasn't taking on as much workload, because, like you say, the man's a workhorse going forward, but his defence and his minutes are unbelievable. And then you've got Jay Chappell out coming into the mix, which, you know, fair play to Jay. He looks big, physical, strong, fit, and it looks like he's, you know, he's almost left as a lad, done the rounds and, you know, learnt the game and progressed. And he's come back, you know, a man, and he's getting better and better every game. And I do believe, James, and, you know, I think sometimes people can get carried away if a player has a good game or two. But I genuinely, taking away the London situation, I wouldn't change them two starting front rowers for anybody in this league. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a couple of players in the Widnes team that you could say that about. You know, I don't think you'd swap the two hookers for any others. No. I don't think you'd swap Jordan Abdul for anyone either. To be honest, I don't think you'd swap Tom Gilmore. I don't think there's too many that you would swap Tom Gilmore for. But yeah, I think Murray really helped, you know, really set the platform against Gill, and hopefully does the same against us. It's interesting with this now, the news this week that Halifax are back. I mean, what a situation that is. But That's that now means that in itself, isn't it? Yeah, Widnes's next home game is against Halifax on the 26th of April. So that's the only downer, I suppose, at the moment, is that after this week, Widnes then have 6 weekends without a home game. In that time, they play Doncaster away. They have 2 weekends off either side of that Doncaster game. And then it's Barrow away. Then it's Dewsbury away. And then it's Dewsbury away again in the 1895 Cup. And that's the only sad thing for me. And I bang the drum about the fixture list all the time. And, you know, the Featherstone demise hasn't helped, because Widnes would have played Featherstone at home, I think, on the 29th of March. But Widnes now have 6. You're building a little bit of momentum, second in the league, and they now have 6 weekends without a home game after this one.
Yeah, and look, I think it's probably the biggest frustration alongside the league structure we've ended up in, of supporters, really. And I can't say I'm too dissimilar. You know, I know there's certain reasons around it, but you feel you could still be closer to a home and away scenario. But I think as a club, you've just got to make the best out of it, haven't you? And I think the way the team's going at the moment, if you keep winning when there is a home game, you're going to get more crowds. And, you know, there's been a lot of planning. Some of it I've been involved in, some I haven't, of building up this match day experience. And I think behind the scenes, the attitude of the club at the moment is let's be proactive. And yes, we are away from home for a couple of weeks and there's breaks in the fixture list, but let's use that as an opportunity to be more prepared for home games when they come around. Tweak things, improve things, try things new, you know, keep things that are new that are working, get rid of things that aren't working. And I think at the moment, you know, I won't stroke his ego too much, but I think a lot of that comes down to having the right people in the right job roles. And obviously Tim Holmes is a massive driving force in that. And, you know, he is very, very into his psychology, isn't he? And he's absolutely right with it as well. You've got to create a positive environment, and people want to be in a positive environment, and that filters onto the fan base, and that is what Widnes have got to keep driving forward at the moment. And, you know, touch wood, that is what's happening, which is nice to see, because it hasn't always been like that, James, has it? Certainly in recent times.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. Like I said, the fixtures in April and May are borderline farcical, but Widnes are at home against Halifax at the end of April, then they're at home to Sheffield at the start of May, and then they play Salford away the week after, and then basically have a month off, which is, you know, obviously you've potentially, there might be an 80-95 cup game in there if you beat Dewsbury, but as things stand, Widnes don't play from the 8th of May to the 7th of June, which is just ludicrous. But at least from June onwards, the pattern is very is much more balanced. So in June, 3 out of 4 at home. In July, 2 out of 4 at home. In August, 2 out of 4 at home. So if Widnes can, as you say, get organised and use a little bit of a break to improve that home experience, they do know that at least from the start of June, they do have that element of consistency. Have you got anything else to say about the match day? Obviously, you have a different experience to me on a match day.
Of what's going on in and around the Blades at the moment.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair, without getting it a free plug and stuff, you know, my kind of views was fed back to Tim Holmes on the first Forge episode that we did last week. I think there's a buzz. The Ingots is a stroke of genius. I think it was originally going to be playing cards. I was under the impression that the playing cards would have been a really good place to go, but when it was thought out, it was more high maintenance to sort out and keep on top of. Whereas these Ingots, you know, it's quick to turn over, but kids are absolutely loving it. New kids coming to games that I've seen and know are loving it and engaging with the players. So I think that's a massive success. The halftime challenge, I watch it. I'm not saying I'll ever have a go at it. I don't think it's a patch on the wire flyer, but I watch it. So you've got to say it works, because it draws me in a strange, weird way. So yeah, I'll give the benefit of the doubt on that one.
What was ever wrong with a crossbar challenge, Mike? I think The problem is, if I did that, I can't remember what they're calling it. They'd have to delay the start of the second half if I had a go at the...
certainly the floodlights might be going on anyway. But
yeah.
I agree, to be fair, but it's not just me in the stadium. It's obviously, you know, a wider audience, but they're trying things new now. Just trying to think of the other things. Look, I think the biggest problem still... The match day experience, and me and Tim touched upon it, is the bar queues are farcical. There's a lot of work going on with the council, and it's ongoing. It's nothing to do with the staff workers that are on. It's just the bar queues, the blocking the turnstiles, the snake into the toilets, and there's a bottle bar around the corner that had half the queue that isn't open. But yeah, there's about 10, about 6-8 staff behind the tills, working 3 tills. And it's like, well, if we just spare one for half an hour, so when, you know, half an hour before kickoff to just help filter them queues, it would make the world a difference. But I think the biggest thing, we're in the Championship, we're trying to grow back, we're trying to grow back as a club. You've got to keep trying things. You've got to be brave. And the club are brave, they're trying things. They're not afraid of making a mistake or tweaking things. And, you know, I think to finish on the Vikings clap, when Tim Holmes suggested that to me, I thought he'd lost the plot. And what he was describing to me, I was severely concerned for him. And I said to him, I said, I'll do it just for you and stuff. And fair play to him again, mate, because the drummers involved think that it was the best version on Sunday. In my belief, it'd be better if everybody stood up, but people are engaging. And I was looking round again, and the kids are absolutely loving it. So again, what do I know? Tim Holmes is the man, isn't he? Not me.
Well, we might call that, we might title that this week's podcast episode, What Do We Know? That'd be a good seller. Mike, thanks as always for your company. Please do check out the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page. You can reach out to me and Mike through there, and we will see you next time.